Hello, welcome to Do Ask, Do Tell, brought to you by GoDaddy.com and fucking miracles.
And Insomnia.
And Insomnia and everything else like that. Oh, use the offer code, I don't care, what is it? What is it? Tell? Tell69. Yeah. Oh, dot com domain name, 69 pence. Bonus, right.
See website for details, some limitations apply.
All that stuff. The reason why we're all quite befuddled is because it's taken us... it's taken me at least an hour to get us to the point where we're recording anything, and it's not even really working properly. Hopefully when you hear the finished product it will sound like it is working properly, but trust me, it's not. It's not. Skype, I hate you. Who makes Skype now? Microsoft. Oh, at least it's not Google. I can do without more of that email. Although I will say to user 32789425 on SoundCloud, fuck you too. Right. So we're all here, and Simon's here as well. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Welcome to the show again. Because this Gamergate thing's gone on for long enough.
You've got to put a stop to it.
We should mention something, I feel. We've not said a lot, if anything at all, and it's been a pretty big thing, and... I'll be honest, actually, I wasn't 100% sure about what it meant, and I got Simon to explain it to me the other night, and my jaw hit the floor, and it's pretty much been dragged around on there ever since, because...
See, I didn't...
Go ahead.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I assumed, because, surprise, surprise, misogyny in the geek and gaming community is not a new thing.
Yeah,
I assumed about a totally different occasion of... nerd boys being complete assholes to women.
No, this is... Well, we'll get into it, but this is just a little hashtag that has been hung on rampant misogyny by Adam Baldwin.
No.
I know. And has basically given license to a mass dogpiling campaign. A huge astroturf. It's been fairly horrific. 4chan has finally bubbled over.
Hmm.
Like a cauldron of disease.
Yeah.
And so, well, yeah, it is 4chan.
So I'm kind of... I've always known that 4chan is a place that I am afraid of. But I have a healthy respect for what can be achieved out of 4chan when it's in its greatest incarnation and in doing its greatest work. It's something I admire, but also I've been vaguely fearful of, and kind of knowing why but not really understanding why until right now, when, like you say, Simon, it's spilled out and we're kind of seeing really the darkest and nastiest elements.
This isn't 4chan's fault.
I know it's not. I know it's not. It's just a place where people collect, and it can never be their fault.
Well, to say it's not 4chan's fault, it actually gets quite interesting, because it's certainly not now, because this is actually a situation that's so disgusting that 4chan has disavowed it.
Marvelous.
Moot, the owner of 4chan, who has basically argued from day one that 4chan is about anonymity and free speech, so it's a true anything goes. Mm. He's only ever had a couple of limitations on that, one of them being child pornography, for example. Mm-hmm. That will get you banned from 4chan. He, at some point in September, I think it was, basically started auto-banning anyone talking about Gamergate on 4chan, especially in the two boards where it originated. Because 4chan is a big discussion forum broken up into sections called boards that are topically divided. And Gamergate sort of arose out of V, which is the video games discussion, and Poll, which is the politics discussion. Mm. And that is its origin. So in that sense, it's kind of their fault a little bit. But like I say, it's gone to the point where Moot has disavowed and said, no, this is... Especially because part of the movement is to try and shut down free speech. It is now equivalent to child pornography, according to 4chan.
Works for me. Yeah. Mm. So, as I understand it, let me try and explain it in a nutshell with my method of understanding it. So, if I'm wrong about anything, please feel free to jump in. This has started when a female game developer by the name of Zoe, can't remember her name.
Zoe Quinn. And this is sort of the start of the current narrative, although it's fair to say she has been a target of 4chan before. She's not new, 4chan isn't new, but we've got to pick a starting point and say this as an event started somewhere. And Zoe's ex is as good a place to start as anywhere for this narrative.
So she broke up with him. He took it rather badly and decided to deal with being dumped by posting her personal details on 4chan and claiming that she slept with a game reviewer in order to get a good review of her game. And that because
amongst other things,
because of that, she's therefore a corrupt game journalist. No, sorry, he is a corrupt game journalist. And she's sleeping with people to get good reviews. And so the internet should, quote, get her.
Basically, yeah. The Zoe post is actually a whole WordPress. I think it exceeds a single post. I'm not going to mention the URL, but it is a whole WordPress blog containing chat logs, personal photos, personal information, accusations. It's enormous and it's disgusting. And it was enough to get the attention of 4chan.
I mean, right away, we're seeing the problem of, dude, you got dumped and you created a WordPress blog dedicated to screwing over your ex-girlfriend? That's not healthy, is it? I mean, straight away, regardless of whether or not any effect had come of that bit on its own, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, seriously? Wow. Like, he really did not take that well.
No.
If anything, it serves to show that perhaps she had a good idea in letting go of someone capable of doing that.
I would say so.
Yeah, he's not good boyfriend material.
Clearly not.
No.
I mean, I've taken breakups badly myself, but I've never gone as far as dedicating a website to it.
No.
I think you should step away from the computer there. That's a lot of anger. And I'm saying that, granted, without knowing the actual circumstances of your breakup. But I'm assuming at this point that it was probably because he was a bit of a dick, to say the very least. And if that's how he reacts to this, probably shouldn't have a girlfriend right now.
I think he clearly didn't like women.
I think in this case, in his particular case, there was certainly one woman in particular that he had a beef with.
Yeah.
Maybe
that was underneath, you know, a lot of stuff.
And so basically he's gone to a place on the internet where you can find people who have nothing better to do than fuck with strangers and gotten them to fuck with the person he wants them to fuck with. And there's nothing good to be said about this at all at this point. Not that we're going to get to a point where there is something good to be said about this. But then it's been justified by saying that, well, she's causing corruption in video game journalism, which is, again, another stumbling block for me. I know you three have just read what I've just posted on my own blog. Who fucking gives a shit about corrupt video game journalism?
It doesn't matter. was shocked to discover that official Xbox magazine might be biased towards Xbox games. And I was horrified to learn that maybe Nintendo Power may have been selecting to review Nintendo games favorably.
Yeah.
Honestly, the idea that maybe there was some corruption going on in video games journalism appalled me.
The other thing about
I have another secret. In 1997, I briefly worked for a video gaming accessory company. Light guns, controllers, all that kind of thing. We published our own magazine as a company reviewing products. The guy who ran the magazine sat opposite me on the desk. His name was Mark. He was a lovely guy. But that's how it works, right? This is what frustrates me most about it all, I think, is that even if the idea behind the so-called honorable gamergaters who believe they're actually fighting for something, your cause is bullshit. Your cause is absolutely worthless and meaningless, even if it were true.
Even if it were true when it's not.
And it's meaningless. It's pointless. How sad for you. Oh dear, someone said they liked a game when it really wasn't very good. Are you fucking kidding me?
The thing is, a lot of the accusations about corruption in games journalism are based on truth. That's why the astroturfing campaign is successful. And astroturfing is a word I'm going to use a lot tonight, so I'm just going to briefly summarize it. Astroturf is like grassroots, but not real. So basically, there are definitely occasions where publishers have used financial pressure or access to exclusivity to influence review scores. This definitely happens. There are people writing favorable columns about their friends in the industry. This definitely happens. The problem comes when the astroturfing campaign holds this up as a problem, comparing it to, say, the ethics policy of the Washington Post and not the ethics policy of, say, Spin Magazine or Kerrang, which is more equivalent to what they're actually doing.
I mean, this is stuff, it's not that they're news journalists. They're not reporting news as such. When you review a computer game, that's not reporting news. That's giving your opinion. And it doesn't matter what that opinion is. You're there to give that opinion. That's how any review of anything works. I said Hour of the Wolf was shit on Movies You Should See. Is that corrupt movie reviewing journalism? Because people don't think it's shit, but I said it was. Is that... what is that? Because surely that's the same thing.
Well, the other angle of this is the unfortunate tendency for quite a lot of people in the sort of media, public, you know, things in movie reviews, in video game reviews, when a woman is involved in something and it goes wrong or it's not popular or for some reason it doesn't succeed, the reaction to that is generally, well, when women do that thing, it's bad. You know, this is why it's hard to get a female superhero movie, because people will say, you know, when superhero movies about women, they're just not good. They don't succeed. And comedies with women as the center. And by the same token, even if, you know, this woman slept with a guy to get a better review on something, even if that's actually what she did for those motivations, regardless of how we feel about, you know, the morality or ethics of doing such a thing, people are looking at this and saying, in the big picture, you know, this is a problem with women in the gaming world. It's not just a one case of one person getting slammed. It reflects a much bigger problem with how people see women in geek and gaming communities.
Yes, immediately, the whole accusation that Zoe Quinn slept with a reviewer from Kotaku for a positive review, A, falls down against the face of the evidence, which is that the reviewer in question never reviewed her game.
Yeah.
And B, immediately reveals that when there is corruption in video games, which we are told is what this is about, this is the gish galloping of the debate, they don't criticize the journalist who's offering good reviews for sex. They criticize the woman. And their criticism comes in the form of doxing and harassment and death threats.
Which is just never justified in any way, shape, or form about anything ever. So to do it over something as trivial as computer games is just sickening beyond all comprehension. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, we don't know who's the reviewer? I don't know. This person's name has not come up.
Oh, it has. No, it absolutely has. I've read it. I know who they're talking about. And indeed, he's written an article about the game. We're not sure on the timeline, probably before the relationship, but certainly never reviewed it, which is the accusation. But again, his name is almost never mentioned. You're right. You have to dig into it to find it, whereas Zoe's is way up there in the foreground.
Yeah. And so this is snowballed, and basically, as I understand it, so this has been another platform not only for people to shout out about what they believe to be corruption in journalism, but also for people on the feminism side to shout out about how they're being treated as women within the geek gaming community. And basically everything they've accused the community of doing has actually been done to them.
Case in point, Felicia Day
earlier today, who posted an article saying, I didn't speak up about anything because I was scared, I was afraid that such and such would happen, and I realized I can't be afraid of that, I've got to speak up. And as soon as she did it, within an hour, all of those things happened to her.
And an interesting corollary to that, she's good friends with and business partners with Will Wheaton. They run a YouTube channel together. They do programming together. Will has been outspoken against Gamergate for weeks. He has posted the most vitriolic countering to Gamergate, and no one has doxed him or even, you know, shouted him down. But as you say, within hours of Felicia Day speaking out, she was doxxed. It's the target list, no matter what Gamergate will say. And the thing is, Gamergate is a movement without leaders, which is how 4chan works. Because the thing is, if you're a movement without leaders, then you are a leaderless movement that can immediately engage in the no true Scotsman fallacy. Anything bad that happens is not done by a true member of the movement, because that's not what the movement is about.
Yeah.
The trouble with that, and the reason it's a fallacy, is if there are no leaders, then there is no one who can say that that is not what the movement is about. By defining what the movement is about, you are making yourself a spokesman for the movement. And by not condemning it, you are tacitly condoning it within the movement. That is how the No True Scotsman fallacy works. So either they are part of the movement, or you're allowing them to be part of the movement by not removing them from your movement. And when you look at their targets, you have the literally who's. Early on, Zoe Quinzel was her Twitter handle for a long time, was coded as literally who in discussion on 4chan when it was allowed, on Reddit before they started banning it, on GitHub where they started organizing themselves before GitHub banned them, then on Gitorious, a third-party Git provider who then banned them. And everywhere they have talked about this, they coded her as literally who, which is a dehumanizing excommunication from the community of gamers. You have no name or identity, but we can still talk about you. There have been 7 literally who's listed and targeted by Gamergate. Every single one of them a woman. And I think maybe one of them actually a journalist. So for a movement that's about ethics in journalism and not about women in gaming, it's an odd list of targets.
It certainly
especially
is.
Considering a lot of men, and I mean, you guys mentioned Will Wheaton, and there's also, I don't remember his name, but other men have been talking about how they've been, you know, aggressively outspoken about this thing for a very long time, and nobody is targeting them.
People I've seen going up against them include Joss Whedon, include Tim Schafer of Double Fine. Yeah, there are plenty of high-profile men in the gaming community and out of the gaming community criticizing them without fear of reprisal.
I don't exactly expect to get any shit myself. At all.
No, but we might. Me and Harry. You never know.
See, this is why I'm careful on the internet.
Yeah. Me too.
There's just nothing good to say about this.
It's the level of sexual violence that's being spoken about these women as well. The nature of the violent comments that are being made in all kinds of places about everybody, Zoe Quinn, Anita Sarkeesian, all the women that we've mentioned so far.
Lee and Alexander, Brianna Wu, there's plenty of them to pick from, yeah.
There really are, and the horrific rape threats and use of, you know, sexually violent names.
And a significant number of them being what the law, the authorities in America call significant threats, i.e. with a time, a place, indication of awareness of the attacker's the victim's location.
Yeah.
Some of them have been very specific. More than one woman has been forced to leave her home for fear of her safety. Famously, a talk at Utah State University, I believe that was Lee Alexander, who was due to talk there, was shut down after a Gamergator, who, by the way, part of the argument is about the identity of gamer. For years, as gamers, we've been trying to dispel the idea that video games lead to school shootings and the like. He literally threatened a school shooting massacre if she was allowed to speak, and
it was
bomb
actually
detonation.
Anita Sarkeesian, who has been the subject of a lot of violent threats in terms of women to do with video games, women talking about video games, women talking about misogyny in video games. And the reason she canceled the event was not only because she was scared for her own safety, but also because she was worried about everyone who was coming to attend her talk.
The threat that they might be targets stated too. That they would target every feminist in the audience. And more specifically, she cancelled because she raised her concerns with the university's security, and they decided that the state's open carry law was more important and refused to ban weapons from the event.
Yeah. Or check for them.
Yes, but I must apologize for taking the wrong name. It's just that there have been so many women whose voices have been shut down with threats of violence in this campaign that it's hard to tell one terror threat from the other.
Horrible.
Right, sorry, I had to step away from the microphone for a while. I will warn everybody in the public, Simply Syndicated has a cold.
The entire tower.
Simply Syndicated.
The entire towers are infected.
I think of the three people you're listening to, I know of three.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Ari and Simon. How
we've
are you?
Probably
are you
infected them over the tubes tonight. I'm sorry, guys.
I've been sick.
Oh, yeah, okay. I keep muting myself to cough lots. So.
Sorry, it's fun, isn't it? I just left the room.
Well, I'm hoping you guys have got antibodies to this crap, because it's boring now. I'm so bored of it. It's dull.
And that, what a nice summation of Gamergate, really. Yeah.
Just stop pretending that this is anything other than hatred for women.
So
that's all I want to say is, like, stop pretending that this is a political agenda about gaming journalism and corruption or not. It's not. It's intense misogyny. And some of it is from children, which is really upsetting because they're growing into horrible people.
I broke them down into two groups of people. And I think you've got your people who are believing the AstroTurf. And I said these are the people that retweet everything and like all these causes on Facebook and think they're doing something, but they never actually take the time to research something or form their own opinions about it. They just see that there's a movement of some kind and they jump on it. And those people are just fucking idiots. But then you've got this other group of people who, like you say, just clearly want to take this opportunity to upset women. And the problem is they were there before all this stuff started. And if we stop doing anything that is in some way linked to Gamergate, it will still be there. They will still be trolling the internet doing these hateful things.
It's just that Adam Baldwin gave them a high-profile figure to rally around. That's what started this.
What is the deal with Adam Baldwin? Is he in some way in... Because he's just an actor. What's he got to do with this?
Well, he's also a very right-wing individual. He has very conservative points of view. And he saw two YouTube videos that laid out what Zoe Quinn had done. And because it was scandalous, labeled it Gamergate, at which point the black block of this operation, the organized trolls. And when I say organized, I'm not going to be careful on the internet. Anon is anyone. Anyone is anon. I have been on the inside, not contributing, but observing some of the organizations of the operations of Gamergate when I became interested. There are chat rooms, there are forums, there are, as I say, Git operations. Those are varying degrees of privacy. But there is definitely an organized group of people who are applying quite advanced knowledge of marketing, psychology, and up to and including basically psyops to run this. This is where this campaign is coming from. These people, when they're given a goldmine like Adam Baldwin giving them a word to rally round, they can use that. And they've never had something... It's a perfect storm. They've never had something so usable as Adam Baldwin from Firefly. Now, there's a geek icon.
Yeah.
Giving them legitimacy, and giving them legitimacy in the eyes of a group who have a genuine anger and need a target. Like I say, for years, gamers have been told you're antisocial. For years, gamers have been told you're violent. Because of your games, your hobby is unproductive, your hobby is negative, you've been criticized all this time, and now here come the social justice warriors to take your games away. And what we have here is a problem of the default, the base assumption. A base assumption is something that is just true. It's not even a belief. It's not something you have to put any effort into knowing is true. For example, a base assumption these days is that a traffic light that is red means stop.
Okay.
We just know that is true. Mm. But there is a context and a reason behind why that is true that is not important to knowing it is true. And one of the base assumptions, or several of the base assumptions in the gamer community, the first base assumption is there is nothing wrong with my hobby. So in terms of... inclusion of diversity in my games, of representation of people within games, of violence, these are not problems. That is base assumption one. Base assumption two is there may be slight issues that could be addressed, but do you know what? It's just the free market. We are the audience, so we are the target demographic. It's similar to what Ari was saying about female-fronted superhero movies. They don't do well, why make them? And if you don't make them, they won't do well. So they don't do well, so why make them? It's we're the target demo. They're making games to appeal to us. That's not a problem. That's the market. Mm. And the last base assumption is the base assumption of any subculture, any group, any herd. The status quo is natural. Change is disruption. Now, in recent years, we've had Twitter come along, Tumblr come along. Online journalism, YouTube, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. Suddenly it's a lot easier to get a voice. So people who've always been gamers, whether that's women, whether that's trans people, whether that's people of color, have a voice or have access to a voice. People like Anita Sarkeesian can go on Kickstarter and raise money to finance a documentary series. Looking at video games in terms of problematic tropes of storytelling, which is really what she's doing. The kind of criticism that's been applied to television and movies for years because they're mainstream. But that's change and disruption. So at the same time I'm being told all these things are bad, here come people who are criticizing me. So it's very easy for this Black Bloc organizing group to turn that anger into there are the people who are telling you you're bad. These are the people who are coming in and trying to change your hobby into something that suits them, not something that suits you.
Mm. And that even extends to people who aren't, you know, going out of their way to declare a problem. It's just everyday normal consumers like these people who just happen to be women or LGBTQ or people of color who are just having normal people feelings about the experience they're having, and they express it. And that no longer is allowed to be just another review from a person who played the game or watched the movie, but it's somebody with an agenda who wants to ruin the experience for the normal people.
Exactly. And the default, the base assumption gamer on 4chan, which is where this all originated, is a guy. There is no question. Because on 4chan, there is the joking saying, there are no girls on the internet. There is also the mantra, tits or get the fuck out. And what this originates from is that online, in text-based mediums such as 4chan, you are not a girl until you declare yourself to be a girl. No one would know. So the default is not a girl. And if you do declare as a girl, you're challenged. There is no proof. That's what tits or get the fuck out boils down to. Prove what you're saying. So you have this herd mentality who know that white guys, I say white guys because there is a whole racist aspect to this as well. But straight white guy, let's add that to the mix, is the default audience. Therefore, the market has to cater to them. Therefore, that is the correct way for the market to be. Because gamer especially is a social convention based purely on consumerism. They are buying products and they want those products to be made for them.
That was the other thing that was bothering me with it, is this, you are defining yourself by what you like to do as a hobby, and that's in itself is bullshit. So you like playing games, therefore you are a gamer, therefore you belong to this group and should follow along with it and its values and beliefs, and that's just fucking mental and pointless and a little bit sad. To be perfectly honest, it all bothers me.
Well, instead of the group being defined by the one essential characteristic, you know, the group of gamers is just people who play games. It takes on this whole extra level of, well, gamers are this and gamers are also that. And it means you're not a gamer if you deviate from that list of characteristics.
Well, you're allowing yourself to be stereotyped.
Well, no, it's to their advantage. That's how this whole thing works. The stereotype supports their position that we are untouchable, our opinions are valid, and the status quo should not be changed because this is how it is and this is how it should be.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
A lot of them, for example, will say if any of the press start writing anti-Gamergate articles, they will say you are alienating your target audience because they literally cannot conceive that that target audience includes people who are not them.
Yeah. Personally, I enjoy alienating my target audience. I fall into the trap of trying to argue with it as if it's a rational thing to be argued with, and it's not. This whole thing is just a reason for people to dish out the abuse that they want to dish out. There's nothing. I've been sat here thinking, so what do we do about this? And the way to deal with it isn't rational argument and counterpoint to whatever point is being made, because the original point is bullshit. It's just a stupid hidden way for people to be hateful.
And it's orchestrated and planned. For example, there is Operation Disrespectful Nod. They give them ridiculous militaristic sounding names because it makes them feel special to engage in pseudo-military operations against their enemy in a war. You know, this is very much the culture of people who grew up playing video games about war and are now taking that language into their online activities. And Operation Disrespectful Nod was an organized campaign to write to advertisers who were financially backing publications that had been critical of Gamergate to say that they didn't like, and specifically in your Operation Disrespectful Nod letter, you had to dissociate yourself from Gamergate, but criticize the stereotypical representation of gamers, your hobby, and prove to them they're disenfranchising their audience to try and get advertisers to drop funding for anti-Gamergate publications, which is hilarious when they use free market economics as their defense for the way gaming is, but don't support free market economics in terms of bad game sites will be shut down because no one will read them. We have to take the war to them. It also offers them a lovely little bit of PsyOps on Twitter. If you start talking about how Gamergate shuts down advertising, they will say, if you can find any evidence of someone who was aligned with Gamergate complaining about this advertising, I'd like to see it, because their operation ensures no such evidence exists. One of many operations designed to give them blather, material that means nothing that they can fob off argument with online.
Yeah.
Greatest example of which, by the way, is Not Your Shield. I just want to raise this because I've brought up straight white male, and I'm going to get this, if any criticism comes back and I don't raise this, they will raise Not Your Shield, which is a hashtag that started of any minority group who was pro-Gamergate. Again, we've talked about how they have a genuine anger against criticism of the gaming hobby that can be easily deflected against the invading force of the social justice warrior. So Not Your Shield was started with, quite early on, very provably sock puppet accounts. In fact, I found more than one step-by-step guide on how to be an effective sock puppet being used to organize this. You create an account, you don't immediately start jumping into the Gamergate discussion. You actually start looking like a new Twitter user, then you follow a few people, start agreeing with them, and then start posting in earnest on your own. And you claim to be disabled or black or a woman or a combination of the above. Usually using stock imagery, which is why we can prove that you're fake, because we can find where you got it.
Yeah.
But the idea is to try and generate, again, AstroTurf, a fake grassroots movement. Some people with genuine anger about corruption in games journalism or just feeling victimized as a gamer will jump on board and go, well, yes, I am a woman and I feel that way. So, yeah, Not Your Shield. Not Your Shield is ironically named because it is one of the biggest AstroTurf shields ever created.
Wow. I'm stunned by the whole thing.
I mean, you've said more than I knew tonight, Simon, and I was already appalled. So I feel a little bit lower than I did earlier.
I haven't even said the appalling stuff.
Well, I know.
And what
I'm just stunned that so many people have so much fucking time on their hands.
So much time on their hands to devote to the pure hatred of women.
I don't get that either.
Why?
Right.
You know, because it's not just an individual game journalist or a game developer that had sex with someone. It's nothing to do with that. It's about women as a whole. And if you hate women to that extent, then you hate your own mother and you hate your sister, you hate every female if you can treat even one of them like that. And it's the wave of hatred from that section of people that is just appalling me. The size and depth of the hatred is overwhelming.
I just
actually,
don't get...
you can see the kind of women they do like, because they've created these ideal women. Vivian James is a creation of the Gamergate movement, and she is an iconic representation of the perfect woman. And when they start to put together the perfect woman, man, does that tell you a lot about their opinions on women. Here is a female gamer, so that's cool. They don't mind female gamers. As long as that female gamer actively engages with the content that they believe is the default, they agree that video gaming is perfect as it is. That they are not part of the target demographic, but they appreciate what is targeted at that demographic. They don't complain, they don't criticize, they don't have a voice. Indeed, if you were playing with them online, you'd never know it was a woman because she doesn't impose herself. This is their perfect woman. A woman who basically agrees with them. That's all they want.
Wow. Do we know anything about what this woman looks like?
Yes, she's a redhead. She is, of course, white. She's ideal weight. She dresses, depending on the depiction, in a sort of very stereotypical gamer way. She has sort of game or nerd culture t-shirts, cargos or jeans, Converse style. So yeah, we actually know quite a lot. They've so much fan art of Vivian James.
Wow.
Good lord.
Wow.
I believe someone's making a platform game with her as the main character now as well.
Wow.
That's just an extra level of wow.
Because that makes her a perfect woman you can literally control.
Like, seriously, the FBI need to get on these people and arrest them before they become serial killers. This is not
especially,
right.
And this is when I just, the bit that shocked me, because unfortunately I've been on the internet a long time. None of what I've said so far shocked me or even surprised me. The one thing I did see was in a chat room. I did see one of the Gamergate organizing people. He wanted to be. Genuinely and sincerely suggest, why don't we just kill her? In reference to Zoe Quinn. And then say, no, hear me out.
As if there's anything that he can say following that statement that is going to make anything better.
Seriously, if that doesn't put you on some sort of fucking government list, then somebody's
what
not doing their job.
I was going to say, what did he follow it with? I'm morbidly curious.
And the thing is, he's not even trying to justify it. What he said is, no, hear me out. Not everyone who dies becomes a martyr. Gandhi did, Malcolm X didn't, but she will definitely shut up.
Wow.
And the reason that the rest of the group, the more sane heads, the politically minded people who are actually organizing this, shut him down, was not, that's fucking murder, you psycho, but they'll make political capital out of that. That will be handing them a PR victory.
So it's the death of a human being wasn't even acknowledged?
No.
No. No, only the fact that it was a bad step politically.
Jesus Christ.
That was the bit that shocked me. That was the bit that genuinely just sent a paroxysm of shock through me and made me sit back and go, wait, who are these people? What the fuck?
You know, this is, I mean, I don't mean to compare myself to people, but this is mostly why I'm so careful on the internet, because I know there's very little I could avoid doing that wouldn't be seen, you know, things that seem completely innocuous and just me doing my own thing would already fall under the category of, you know, treason against the Gamergate cause, just simply being me doing the things I do. The fact that I am conscious about there are people like this in every part of the internet, it's not just on this subject, that I go out of my way to avoid and leave very little of myself available to be used against me. This is something I have had, you know, built into my consciousness of the internet since I started using it as an 11-year-old. The first stage of that was, you know, anybody who uses the internet, you know, you never use your real name. That's how it started out. And then it became this very developed awareness of being X, being Y, being Z, mainly in my case, being mostly, in for all intents and purposes, a woman and queer and, you know, dealing with mental health issues. These are all things that I am acutely aware of that can and will be used against me if I trust the wrong people or if I leave myself open in the wrong places.
I don't blame you for wanting to be private. Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, this is about having an opinion, right? These women are being attacked because they've either made games in a boy's world or they have discussed feminism and gender equality in gaming. That's all. That's all they've done.
Or they've dared to suggest that gaming could be more complicated than point gun at thing, pull trigger.
Yeah.
It's the people who are genuinely afraid that if games are made that are aimed at girls, that there won't be another Call of Duty ever. Is that what the genuine fear is for some of these
people?
You know,
I think some of them might have a problem with girls liking their games.
Like
first-person shooters and things like that.
Like, there won't be a FIFA 16 if they make a game for girls. Is that a fear that these people have?
Given the titles that they're specifically targeting, perhaps. I mean, some of the games that have entered into criticism here are not just female-made, but so groundbreaking in what they want gaming to be. For example, Zoe Quinn's game that drew all this negative attention to her is a really interesting little title called Depression Quest, which is exploring adult depression through an interactive medium. And is it a game? Well, that's still to be decided. Obviously, the genre is changing rapidly, but it uses the language of games and the technology of games, so it's threatening to games. Another one is Gone Home, which was perhaps my game of the year last year. I definitely brought it up in that episode of World 1 Stage 1, which was a narrative in which it was almost a video gaming monologue. There are no other characters that you interact with directly, only through artifacts in the world. You play a girl returning from university to an empty home, trying to determine why it's empty and what has happened. And it's a love story that, I don't want to spoil it, but deals with queer issues, and deals with being a girl and queer in sort of the modern day. It's absolutely fascinating. I adored that game, and it genuinely emotionally affected me by putting me into the shoes of someone whose experiences I'm never going to live. And oh, do these boys hate that.
And it also, I mean, I've played the game as well, and I found that it plays with your expectations as someone who has played games before.
Yes.
If while you're exploring this game, while you're trying to figure out what your goals are, what you're trying to do, and you're trying to expect things that you would expect in most games. Like if you've played a lot of first-person shooters and role-playing stuff where you play a character who has a gun and there are enemies and you are trained to expect a danger. And I think it's very interesting that you're playing a girl on her own in an unfamiliar place that is supposed to be familiar because it's her family's home, but she's never been there. And it's you are apprehensive as a player. You are expecting danger.
Yes,
I'm not going to give very much away.
The form,
yeah.
But towards the end, especially, it starts to play with some very specific tropes. And there was a moment right at the end, I don't know if this will be a shared experience, but where I found myself pressing forward to find out what had happened, but thinking, oh God, don't let that be what happened.
What's it called again?
Gone Home.
Gone Home. Yeah, I need to play this.
A beautiful experience and a wonderful example of how gaming can be more complicated than another Call of Duty.
And honestly, it's depressing that there are people who would prefer the same old shit to something that would, you know, tickle the part of your brain that, for me anyway, is why I play video games. I want to experience a multitude of different things. I play the same games over and over again so I can do something, or at least try to do something differently so I can get as much variety of experience possible.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words with this, I really am. Because it's shocking and horrible and every bad word I can think of.
Well, just to raise a little bit of the criticism you will encounter if you deal with these people, they will say that they have been called the most awful names, that there's a hostile media that is coordinating against them. They point out, for example, a lot of sites ran the end of the gamer type article very quickly, one after the other, so clearly this was a conspiracy. They might not have heard that when a movie comes out, lots of movie coverage places all write about it at the same time. Or indeed, when something happens, the news all tend to talk about it, regardless of whether they're TV or websites or differing news companies, events tend to get covered as they occur, but it was clearly a conspiracy, especially as they will tell you they discovered a mailing list of games journalists who talk to each other because they're in the same industry. Wow. I'm here to blow the lid off, by the way, guys. There is a Facebook group where Simply Syndicated hosts talk to each other. We're not conspiring, though. We're mostly just...
Not conspiratorial.
Giving each other shit.
Shit, which is exactly what the games journalist news list was as well.
I have a friend who's a poker journalist, and I have it on good authority that he has, on numerous occasions, spoken to other poker journalists.
Sometimes, isn't it? I think it's happening.
Do you know what?
Maybe.
When he goes to a hotel to cover an event that's happening in that hotel, some of them, they even all stay in the same fucking hotel.
Do they speak, though, or do they all go down at breakfast in silence?
They speak to each other. It's almost as if they're human beings that have the same job and like to have friends and people they know and talk to.
Wow.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shocking. They'll also bring up that individual pro GamerGators have been threatened. Now, on this, I've seen accusations of doxing, I've seen accusations of sending things in the mail, and I've seen accusations of threats. I have not even seen one accusation of anything so bad as to say it drove someone from their home. And what I have seen is definitive, organized false flag operations from within the Gamergate camp to create the illusion of these things to use as blather in online conversation. So the existence of that operation doesn't mean that these people are lying, but unfortunately it completely removes their credibility.
Certainly does. Certainly does. Not right. That I could ever see any, but yeah.
And honestly, I would say if these things were actually happening to those people, I would disavow it as fiercely as I disavow it happening to women, because it's
absolutely,
you know, no one deserves to have that happen to them. But if it were, you know, if it were happening to these pro Gamergate people, it that does not justify them doing it to people first.
No. It is just a debating tactic for many people in terms of any false flag that has been created on either side. Accusations exist on either side, is trying to turn the casual abuse of a human being into a smokescreen for you to continue being a hateful prick on the internet. And that's not good. So if you're faking it or doing it, stop.
That's pretty much the gist of all we can say about it, isn't
it?
Just what the fuck? What I genuinely don't get, of all the irrational hatreds there are between human beings, men hating women is the one that perhaps confuses me the most. I'm not saying that it's any better or worse, or I'm not ranking things. I'm just saying I genuinely don't get it.
Just don't get it. No.
Like what is your eventual aim of hating women? For there to be no women, or what, or just have women that do what you, because all of these possibilities sound shit to me. They really do, and it's I just don't.
Well,
they've
created a persona. There's only one kind of woman, and she's exactly like that.
You know,
passive, voiceless redhead that you can control.
Yeah.
If you're some sort of redneck, right-wing, Christian, evangelicalist, extremist, I don't agree with why you might hate gay people, but I see why you do. But as for men hating women, what's
It comes from the same place. Both kinds of people have been taught a system of beliefs that tells them what they should want. And in the case of misogynists, it's that they believe that it is better and more valuable and more right and more desirable to have a particular kind of interaction and relationship with women, which consists of, you know, well, you can understand what I'm getting at, whereas they are not valuing having empathy for difference or understanding across different experiences. That's just completely devalued, and you know, it's the same thing for any kind of bigotry, I think.
Yeah. Well, I feel we've had a very good discussion, but I'm fucking depressed.
Yeah, I'm low about it all. I really am.
I don't know.
There's a joke that goes around on the old anti-bigotry internet circles where, you know, the great conspiracy, quite like the gay agenda, you know, all of us who get together and talk about, you know, not liking misogyny and racism and homophobia and all of that. It's hard to be a feminist and like stuff.
Yeah. I know. There's so much hurt.
You know,
there's so much hurt.
When I go to the movies, sometimes I tell my feminist brain to go turn around and face the wall for a bit so I can laugh.
So, yeah, well, yeah. This is it, because you can't take the glasses off, can you? When you see it, you see it. It's like with anything in life. If you've had your eyes opened a wee little bit wider, then you can't help but see what is so blatantly in front of you. And, you know, misogyny happens to us in delicate ways all day, every day. Sometimes very personally, sometimes to the women around us and in society. And it's a part of existence. It's when it's this vile and this visible from a whole group of people that it feels dangerous. It feels like these boys are dangerous.
I think, like, these are horrible. The people who become serial killers, I'm telling you. It's fucked up.
It really is. It makes me feel ill to the pit of my stomach. That
seriously,
that level of hatred.
Yeah, it's not right.
And
hating anything.
Coldness and, you know, a complete sort of removal from humanity when, you know, there's not even an acknowledgement that a murder's taken place. It's just seen as a political move.
And I think a lot of the people who participate in this understand that it has this kind of effect on us because it makes them feel powerful and in control, that they can have such a profound effect on people who they don't like.
What was the, what, there was something in, I think it was last week's Doctor Who, and it was something, I can't remember it properly, and it would be so cool if I could, but I can't. But it was about who's worth hating so much that you put all that energy into hating them enough. And so, generally, just don't waste your time on it. No, never mind. I thought one of you might have remembered that, but no, never mind.
Sorry.
No, I just pick
don't
up on weird
show.
Things. You know, as we know, I have TV Tourette's or whatever it is that needs dealing with. I just want to watch a single TV show without going, oh, it's him from, what was he in? And then I have to look
and
it up.
Mainly no, though.
Yeah, and I mainly know, and it's not right. So, yeah.
TV Tourette's, I quite like that as a thing. I do that too.
It's like that. I don't know. There must be an actual, I bet there is.
I counsel people. I give them motivational interviewing questions while the action is taking place so that they can examine what they're doing and ask themselves why. Does this fit with who you are? I ask the TV that a lot. Why are you doing that?
Because I have to know what episode of Deep Space Nine that guy was in 17 years ago. I have to know. It's just one of those things. I can't help it. I know it's not right.
I must know now, yeah.
And Criminal
Would you
Minds
like a sliver of hope about Gamergate
yeah.
to
yes.
maybe cling to as a possible positive?
Yeah.
There's a wonderful article on a site called Dr. Nerdlove, entitled The Extinction Burst of Gaming Culture, which is basically talking about the way things, groups of people, subcultures, clubs, become hyperbolic and overreactive when the environment in which they thrive no longer exists. It's the sort of last desperate attempt to reassert themselves.
Yeah.
And as they point out, you look at the hyperbole of Gamergate. You look at a woman who wants to apply fairly basic literary criticism to video gaming as a culture. And she is the enemy. This is war. This is an invasion. It's Sturm und Drang. It is, as I said, military ideology. It is a desperate fight for survival.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there's only one thing that would inspire a fight for survival that drastic, and that's that survival is no longer tenable. It means they're threatened by what they see as a shift in gaming as a media, because there is a shift in gaming as a media.
Yeah.
What we have to remember is that there are fantastic women making indie games from new viewpoints who are using the tools of democratization of publication available to them on the internet to establish their voice. There is a diversity coming, and these guys can't fight it, which is why they're trying so hard.
That is a positive. I do like that.
I'm sat here with a big smile on my face because of what you just said. It's brilliant, basically.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, I, as a my personal stake in this, I am going to, you know what? I am going to continue going on doing my thing, playing the video games I play, and having feelings about them, and talking about those feelings sometimes. Because, you know what? I, at this point, there are ways I can do this, and nobody can stop me. And that, just by itself, terrifies them.
Yep. There are fantastic people who are doing great work, whether it's making games, making criticism, making journalism, who are women, who are social justice warriors. Although, I'll be honest, I consider myself more a social justice cleric. You know, the party needs some rounding off.
That's right.
But you can go and back them in really small amounts and easy ways. You know, Patreon exists, Kickstarter exists. Look for these people and support them, because I'm really happy that these things are coming. I'm loving that, yeah, there are so many great people coming into what was a monolithic development of huge companies with massive budgets, and they're doing the equivalent of picking up a video camera and making a short film. It's great. Let's support people who are trying to change gaming for the better, rather than the people who are trying to preserve a fairly stale status quo.
Well then, I think that wraps us up nicely.
Yes.
I feel good to end on a positive note.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Oh, and there's
everybody.
That new law that's coming in the UK where if you do this to people in real life, you can go to prison for 2 years.
Yeah. So
for even joking about it, for even thinking it and putting it in words. So that's good as well.
Absolutely. Wow, we've gone on late. So thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Our email address is doasdotell@simplysyndicated.com. Please feel free to not defend it all in an email. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we want to discuss emails we have received?
Not today, because we've been here for ages, but we have received... Have we got some email?
We did get one. I have it here somewhere.
Is it something we can read without going into great depth?
It was suggestions.
Hang on.
Oh, my.
Something very weird.
Hi, Barclay.
Barclay's definitely awake.
He is the podcasting dog.
Oh, right. Okay, right. We definitely
have... He has opinions.
Yeah, we should come to an end. We should come to an end.
I think that's the cue.
Yeah, I think that's it. We'll come back. We'll read email on next week's show. We've got something to look forward to for then. So that's the thing. A man just turned up with a lot of food and stuff. oh, yeah, it's that late. We had to do it before we couldn't get anything. There you go. That's my fault for technical problems. Apologies to everyone for that. Right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with all our email. And I think I have another big topic in mind for next week. Yes, I do, actually. Yes, I do. So we can do... I shut up, Rich. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Simon, for joining us. And Ari and Ian there. And Alison. And Barclay.
Thank you. I like having a platform for a good rant.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. Okay, back next week with another show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.